So let's review. The Gemara in the previous daf mentioned that Safra, the scribes, date their documents from the 6th year of the beginning of Malchus Yav in the Greek rule, which was in the 40th year of the second Beis HaMikdash and 380 years before the Churban. The Gemara proceeds to elaborate on this issue with the following incident. There was a loan document that was dated 6 years ahead of the time of the loan. The Rabban assumed that Hayishtar Ma'ukhurhu, Ni'akve Adamati Zam Ne'ebeloi Tarf. Although the loan happened this year, the shtar was post-dated 6 years later because the malva forgave part of the shibud and that he will not confiscate the levy's assets that he owned and sold during those 6 years. However, Rav Nachman explained that Hai Safra daf kone kasmei, v'hanach sheh shnin namalku be'elam da'anan lechashvin lehu, huk chashablei ubizmanei kasmei. This shtar was written by a precise scribe and is not post-dated because this scribe dates his documents from the beginning of the Malchus Yavin, when they began to rule in Elam 6 years earlier, while all other scribes date their documents from when Malchus Yavin dominated the whole world 6 years later. Therefore, the Malva can confiscate all the Leibus assets from these 6 years. The Gemara asks, however, perhaps, Hai Mo'uchahu, the Litzis Mitzrayim Aninan. Perhaps the shtar was post-dated and the Malva cannot confiscate the Leibus assets because we do not date shtaris according to the years of Malchus Yavin, but rather according to the years from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, which was 1,380 years before the Churban, and this scribe counted only the final 380 years, which coincides with the 6th year of Malchus Yavin, and if so, is post-dated. The Gemara answers, "Begoyle ein meinen el Malchus Yavin bulvad." Chutzlarts, they date their documents only according to Malchus Yavin, not according to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, we assume that the shtar was not post-dated, and the scribe included the first 6 years because, as Rashi explains, she'in kol adam oisekein, it's not common for a malva to post-date a shtar and thereby forgive part of the lien. Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah on Daf Ches, which lists the Eidehen shel Evdei Kechavim, one of which is B'yim Genustia shel Malchayim. And the Gemara explains it as Yom Shem Emidim by Akum Es Malkum, the anniversary of the day that they had appointed their current emperor, and they would go worship the Avodah Zarah on that day. And although the Braisa states Yom Kinusya, the Yom Shem Emidim by Esmalkum, which implies that Yom Kinusya refers to something else, the Gemara explains Lekasha Hadidei Hadibrei. One refers to the appointment of the current emperor, and one refers to the appointment of the current emperor's son to succeed his father. And although the Braisa derives from the Pasuk Hine Kotna Saticha Begoyim, She'im Meshivin Melech Ben Melech, the Romans do not appoint an emperor's son to succeed his father. However, Alidei Sha'ila Mukmi Kigoyin Asvarius Bar Antoninus de Melech. The emperor requested from the ministers they do appoint his son, as in the case of Assuerus, who succeeded his father, the well-known Roman emperor Antoninus. The Gemara now elaborates on the close relationship of the Roman emperor Antoninus and Rebbe and relates some of their conversations and interactions. Antoninus told Rebbe, "Beina de yimlich Assuerus b'ri tochaisi b'sas avid teveri kalanya. I want my son to succeed me as emperor, and I want to absolve the city of Teveri from paying taxes. However, v'eimlehu chada avdi treilei avdi." My ministers will only grant one request. Rabbi advised him to do the following. Ask them to appoint your son to succeed you as emperor, and then ask your son to absolve Teveri from their taxes. Rashi explains that Antoninus did this because there were many Rabbanan living in Teveri, and based on his relation with Rabbi, he was an Oihiv Rabbanan, and he admired and liked the Chachamim and sought their benefit. Antoninus told Rabbi, Mitzarenli Chashubi Ramoi, the influential Romans are harassing me. Rebbe advised him to do the following. Katol chad chad minayhu v'lois hiskara b'hu b'kulu. Execute them one by one, but don't fight them all at once. And the Gemara explains that Rebbe only signaled these responses to Antoninus with various actions, but he did not express them explicitly because Amar shami b'chashubi remi u'mitzarele. He was concerned that the Romans will hear and they will harass him too. And he did not tell him even balachash quietly, because ki oifa shemayim yoylech hasakoyel, even the birds can carry his message, which means one can never be sure that his words will not become known. The Gemara continues describing their friendship. Kol yoyma habeshadu lei dahava pericha b'matrasa b'chiti apumayu. Every day Antoninus would send Rebbe sacks full of gold, but they were covered with wheat so that the messengers would not be aware of its true contents. And Antoninus told Rebbe, lahava laman de basroch de hava le basroi de asu basroch de asu minayu nefik alayu. Your successes will use this to pay their taxes to my successes. Havle ahina kras de hava aitli mi beisi le beis Rebbe, kol yom hava maisi tre avdi, chad katle above de beis Rebbe, v'chad katle above de beis Rebbe. There was an underground tunnel that led from Antoninus' palace to Rebbe's home, and each day Antoninus would go visit Rebbe accompanied by two servants. He killed one servant upon his arrival at Rebbe's home, and the other servant upon his return to his palace. Tesis asks, murder is one of the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, forbidden even to non-Jews. And offers two explanations. It was permitted based on habalah hargucha hashkam lahargoy, self-defense, because the life of Antoninus would be endangered if he was found out. He chose people who were already liable to death. The Gemara continues, Antoninus told Rabbi, be'idna de'asino le'nashkech gvar kamach. No person shall be present when I come. One day, however, Antoninus came and found Rabbi Chanina bar Chama seated before Rabbi. And Rabbi told Antoninus, les din bar inish. My guest is not considered a person, he's like an angel. And Antoninus put Rabbi Chanina bar Chama to a test, and he brought the dead servant back to life, but even so Antoninus insisted that no one be present. Every day Antoninus would serve Rebbe his meals, and when Rebbe wanted to climb onto his bed, Antoninus would bend down before the bed for Rebbe to step on him. Antoninus asked Rebbe, "Asini la'alma da'asi? Will I receive a portion of the world to come?" And Rebbe confirmed that he will. And although the pasuk states lo yisar lebeis esav, there will be no remnants of the esav descendants, this only refers to ba'isim ma'isa esav, only one who acts like esav, but not to a righteous person. The gemara concludes Antoninus shamshel Rebbe kishachav Antoninus amar Rebbe nispar dechavila. Antoninus, the non-Jewish emperor, served Rebbe for many years, and when Antoninus died, Rebbe exclaimed, "Our close bond has come apart." Similarly, Ardachan Shamshe L'Rav, Kishachav Ardachan Amar Rav Nispar D'Chavila, Ardachan, a non-Jewish lord, served Rav, and when he died, Rav exclaimed, "Our close bond has come apart."